Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Number one, divert daily. Second, withdraw weekly. And third, abandon annually. That is a really good life strategy. I said, here's the deal. My wife and I had four kids under four. We had two boys and then surprise and twins. And so any mom that's been here, I understand, man. We felt like we had multiple bowling lanes installed in our minds for about 5 years.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of parents listening to us right now who can totally relate to that analogy, though bowling is supposed to be fun. Right here on the Homeward broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns getting ready for the second half of a two-part conversation with his good friend from college, back to the Azusa Pacific days, pastor and author Ray Johnston. He's the pastor of Bayside Church in Sacramento. He's the leader of Thrive Communications and the Thriving Church Conferences, and he's the author of the brand new book called The Hope Quotient. And during the next half hour, part two of Jim's continuing conversation with Ray Johnston on finding hope and hopeful living in a hopeless world. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a continuing conversation with my good friend Ray Johnston, Hope Living in a Hopeless World. He's written a great book. The book is called The Hope Quotient. And by the way, with this book, and Roger's going to tell you a lot more about it, but you can get this book. It includes an HQ assessment text. It's a great resource for you. Here we go. Ray Johnston. He's the pastor of Bayside Church in Sacramento area. It's one of the larger churches in America. He's the president of Thriving Churches International. By the way, Thriving Churches International provides leadership and management guidance to pastors and churches nationwide. And if you're a layperson, you might want to let your pastor know about this. He's a graduate of Azusa Pacific University, where we are here at the Azusa Pacific Studios. He serves on the board there at Azusa right now. His wife, Carol, and he make their home in Sacramento. They've got four grown children. Ray, great to have you back with us.
Hey, great to be back. And by the way, about Azusa Pacific, I've been on their board a long time, which means I was one of the folks that got to bring you and your organization into that school.
That's right.
And everybody loves having you there.
Well, it is great to be there, and we love that campus. In fact, Roger's finishing some academic work there here. So we are there, and I just finished a class that I loved teaching on youth ministry. I actually, in an old life of yours, we did a lot of youth ministry type stuff, and I'm still doing some of that, and we just had a blast. I actually took my class to In-N-Out Burger. And in a previous conversation, you were talking about getting an Apple executive to say, what can the church learn about Apple? What I did was I took them to In-N-Out, to the headquarters. We had a meal. We took the tour. We talked about their leadership and their hospitality. And then I wrote the words church and In-N-Out. And I said, what can we learn from it? We went for 40 minutes on what they could learn about how In-N-Out Burger, and by the way, this is a national broadcast, and a lot of our listeners don't get the chance to eat at In-N-Out. But boy, is In-N-Out Burger a great thing here in the West of America.
And everybody's first stop when they land in California.
Exactly. Isn't that funny? But anyway, it was a fantastic experience where these students, and I just love your as you talk about Azusa, I really do love and appreciate, and I'm a grad kind of at the same time as you, which means we're both old guys. But
it was funny. I we're joking all the time. I'm going, I went there, I'm on their board, so a lot of my time goes there. All four of my kids went there, so all my money went there.
I've got two there right now in master's program, so I'm with you on that one.
Anyway, would the ushers please come forward?
Seriously. Well, we're talking about a great topic today. We're talking about hope. It's actually a continuing conversation from a conversation earlier. And Ray, you've written a great book. It's called The Hope Quotient. It actually was in the very first week, it was a Wall Street Journal bestseller. It's an incredible book. I am recommending it to loads and loads of people. And one of your principles in The Hope Quotient, you say, is kind of playing to your strengths. And I think a lot of times people will say that, that's difficult to do because maybe they have a job where they're not playing to their strengths. They have in their family, they're having to not play to their strengths. But you say if you really want hope, you've got to play to your strengths. Help us unpack that.
My life, Jim, was changed in a seminary classroom. I may be the only person that ever happened.
Is something.
No kidding. I was in a class, and the professor actually stopped teaching, and he looked at our class and for some reason said, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have an exciting life, if you want to have a fulfilling life, if you want to maximize your impact, and this guy, he wanted a string of things, you know. He said, if you want to enjoy it, and he said, all that can happen, all you have to do is one thing. And I whip out my pen, I go, what is it? And he goes, find out what your spiritual gifts are. Find out what God made you good at and build your whole life around that. He said, anything else is going to lead you to a road of mediocrity and regret, which is why the average American is in the wrong job.
Isn't that something?
And that changed the course of my life. And now, I had to try and fail on a whole bunch of stuff to figure out what I was good at. I'm the only guy I know, I led worship one time. And I figured out pretty fast that God would never want me to do that again. The cool thing about playing to your strengths is you end up you become the person God created you to be from the first place. And the other thing that's cool about that is this: when you figure out what your strengths are, you don't have to be insecure. If I'm lousy at something,
yeah,
instead of going, oh, I'm no good, or getting discouraged, I'm going, that's just another thing I'm not good at. I have other strengths, though. I got to find those.
No, that's a great part of it. I have found, even with kids, that when kids find their spiritual gifts, live within spiritual gifts, you know, it gets them going. Something I learned in your book that literally I did not know before was that the words joy, gifts, and grace all come from the same kind of root. Talk about that.
Yep. Oh, they all come from the same kind of root, because you think about it, boy, when somebody's using their gifts, okay, I mean, hey, I'll give you an example. We have six services every weekend. I speak live at six services.
Wow.
I just spoke at a pastor's conference at Regent University, and somebody asked me, they said, are you dead at the end of the weekend? And I said, no, to be honest with you, I'm probably more charged up. As a matter of fact, I have more energy at the end of six times speaking that I would be if I had to do your taxes for 30 minutes.
Right.
And when somebody's doing what God wired them to do, it's not that you don't get tired. It's that it recharges your batteries while you're doing it.
Yes.
But the minute I start stepping into stuff where I'm going, I'm spending my life doing what I shouldn't be doing, man, it's a grind, and I end up way more tired after an hour.
Yeah. Great, great insight and great input. Hey, you've got another principle, and it says refuse to go it alone. So in other words, you know, do it in community. Talk about the importance of community.
It's massive. I saw it most clearly. I was at a conference 20 years ago that I've never recovered from. This stress expert said everybody has stress, and that's a good thing. She said, if you don't have stress, you're actually dead. Mm-hmm. And she said, but there's good stress and bad stress. And she said, good stress is having three things in roughly equal balance. She said, number one is challenge. You need enough challenges for your future. She said, second is you need enough controls. In other words, you don't want to have a lack of controls. And the third, she said this, you need enough support. Yeah. And she said, those three things, and I heard that and I went, everybody you and I know, we have enough challenges. I mean, you got enough challenges to last the next 50. Anybody listen to this, I'll bet you have enough challenges for the next 150 years. Second is, we have enough controls. Our government makes sure of that. Okay? The average person, myself included, I'm on a lifelong journey to make sure I have enough support, because that's the only way I'm going to have hope. I mean, The Lone Ranger, great TV series, lousy lifestyle. I mean, you look at the Bible, every time the enemy wanted to attack somebody and wreck their life, the first thing he did was get them isolated.
Isolated, you're right. You're right. You know, at Bayside Church, one of the things that I remember from being there really several times is that you have an amazing amount of groups. I mean, if somebody likes to ride motorcycles, there's a group for that. If somebody likes to do this or that, you know, you have groups. One of your phrases is join a group or die. You're kind of talking about that. Isn't that a phrase that you guys say?
Hey, there's some crazy medical research out, and it is things like that. People that develop friendships, like actually develop, if they have no friendships and just develop a couple, they cut their odds of dying by like 40%.
Incredible.
It's crazy. Isolated people just don't do well. And so we, when I told our church that, I was joking around. I said, we have a new small group motto. Here it is. Join a group or die.
Well, you know, it's actually a great motto. And so many times people will come to church and they say, you know, I'm not getting much out of it, or I don't like this, or I don't like that. Well, they're going there for the wrong reason. Part of being in church isn't to hear great messages. You know, I can listen to you online if I want to hear just great messages. It's being a part of a community that's going to be
right.
My friends.
That's
and,
right. Yep.
You know, that I look forward to. I greet them. You know, we have a regular conversation. We have, you know, that connection, and that's key. Now, fascinating enough, then you talk about relationships, and of all the people I know, you do this so, so well. But one of the things that, and we don't have enough time to talk about it here in the next, you know, minute or so, but you have five relationships we all need, and you say vision casters, soul sharpeners, models and mentors, heart healers, and tail kickers. Now, I want you to say, you know, how did you come up with those five, and how do they fit into your life?
I came up with those five. I was thinking, you know what? I need more than just people I hang out with, like a vision caster. And this gets unpacked in this chapter, but vision casters are people that help me dream about the future.
Yes.
Okay, which maximizes my future. Soul sharpeners. I just need some people in my life that keep God and I close and call me on things. Models and mentors. I'm a big fan. I mean, we just talked about one of my mentors, 79-year-old guy. I want people that I look up to and aspire to be like. Jim, you are that for a lot of people. I think it's why a lot of people turn into your radio program. Then heart healers are going, man, when your life falls apart, I better have somebody that I can run to. And then tail kickers. I like people occasionally that go, okay, Ray, I'm going to tell you the truth instead of what you want to hear.
Right, right. No, that's all those are critical. All those are important. That is, as I looked at that, I went, that was my prayer. I wanted those people in my life. Listen, we'll take a break. We're going to come right back. Ray Johnson with us. The book is called The Hope Quotient, HQ. It includes an HQ assessment test that is just awesome. Measure it, raise it. You'll never be the same. And Ray Johnston is a privilege to be talking with right now. We'll come right back.
Well, it's certainly a hope-filled book, that's for sure. And we've got it up at homeward.com if you want to go check out and learn more about what Ray Johnston has been up to, the seven-year research project and the culmination of that in this book, and basically encouraging us to find those places where we can recharge our batteries and get away from draining people in our lives. And it's a very, very helpful resource. It's one that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. How's your marriage? How are things happening for you and your spouse right now? Are they going well? Could they be better? One way that you can improve the quality of your marriage, no question about it, is to spend time in God's Word, spend time in prayer with your spouse. Now, you don't have to do formalized devotions per se. As a matter of fact, Jim and Kathy Burns tried that for years, couldn't find a resource that they liked, so that's why they wrote a book called Closer. It's 52 faith conversation starters for couples. It'll help you grow stronger in your faith and also deepen your relationship with your spouse. You can order a copy of Closer directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We truly appreciate that financial support. Learn more at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Doctor, we just feel like our daughter's slipping away, you know, and it's all my fault. Too many long nights at the office and away from home.
No, don't blame yourself, Bill. I should have done more for her.
Now, hold on a minute.
Well, maybe I was too strict with her.
Maybe I wasn't strict enough.
Oh, we shouldn't have moved in the middle of her sophomore year.
We should have changed churches. Then she could have made better friends.
Okay, well, if you think you've failed as a parent, well, you're not alone. All of us fail at one time or another. However, just because we think we've blown it with our kids doesn't mean that God will ever fail them. No matter how many mistakes we make as parents, there's always hope in the Lord. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today with Ray Johnston. Hopeful living in a hopeless world is what we're calling this. He's written a wonderful book called The Hope Quotient. Roger's just told you about it. Measure it, raise it, you'll never be the same. And you know what? This is just great material that we're talking about today. Incredible conversations. And he's got these principles. And as we look at the principles that will raise your hope quotient, honestly, my hope quotient is getting raised just as we talk about this. The next one is one of the toughest for me, Ray, and it's called Replacing Burnout with Balance. Talk about that.
I actually spoke on this chapter this week at Bayside.
Wow.
And I got up and I said, now, we have, for example, we have 16 Easter services.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? Monday after Easter, I'm going, Christ is risen, I'm dead. And I got up and I said, people, me speaking on the subject of slowing down, I said, I'm just going to preach to myself and y'all can listen in. Okay? But, Jim, you really go, do we know anybody that's burned out and fried that actually has hope? I mean, they're disconnected things. And Jim, just for your listeners, I started this week's sermon with a Jim Burns story.
Uh-oh.
And so for those of you listening going, okay, what does Jim do when he's on the road speaking? I moved to Chicago about 18 years ago. I put a conference together for youth pastors, and it was the first thing. I was working with a denomination. I was over about 800 churches, youth ministries. We had this massive conference. They all show up. Jim shows up, and he's our first ever speaker. Before you spoke, it was a Sunday morning, the door opens, the president, the board, everybody walks in, and when they walk in, it's the first meeting, Jim, and I'm actually, as I'm introducing you, I'm going, whoa, every big shot's here, all these guys hired me, they came to hear if I'm any good, they came, and I thought, my neck's on the line. When I introduced you, I thought, I hope Jim doesn't bomb, I hope he kills this, because my neck's now on the line. And you stood up, Jim, and you said, here's your opening line. 15 years ago, when I started doing ministry, I had an affair. And I thought, I am so fired. And then you said, oh, I had an affair, but it wasn't with another woman. And now I'm thinking, I'm probably fired today. And then you said, oh, but it wasn't with another man. And now at least you have my attention because I'm running out of options. And everybody, the tension in the room was off the charts. And you looked at the sea of people and you said, 15 years ago I had an affair and it almost cost me my marriage and my family because I had an affair with my job. All my time, all my energy, all my affection went to my job. And I almost lost my family and my ministry because I had an affair with my job. And then you had a great line. You said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll just make you busy because it will have the same effect.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I will never forget that. I was glad how you wrapped that up because I thought, he just saved my job and I may get a raise out of this thing. Way to go, Burns.
You know what's interesting about that, though, is I see this as one of the biggest problems in America with leaders, but I also see it with families. We're so overcommitted, we get underconnected with the primary relationships, God, our spouse, if we're married, our kids, and it's this busyness. I mean, busyness, and there's a difference really between, you can be somewhat busy, but you still need to have balance because when people, you said this, when people are burnout, you said it so well, when people are burnout, they lose all hope, and then that's when also they become vulnerable to making some really poor decisions.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I call it the 3 Ds. I think what happens is when we get really busy, what happens is we get distracted from the things that are really important. That leads to me getting disconnected from God, my wife, and everything else. And that usually leads to me getting destructive.
Yeah, wow.
And so I think it all traces back to that. And I think it's mine of these 7 things that I'm trying to build into my life.
Yeah.
This is the one that always needs the most work.
Right. Right, that is so good. You know, stress is also, I mean, it goes right along with this. I mean, it's just a growing problem. You mentioned that some stress is good, but also when you mentioned that at a doctor's visit, you know, there 75-90% of the visits are stress related.
Yep.
When a person's saying, "Fine, but you know, I've got 4 kids and I've got mortgages that are over my head," what do you say to the mom who's just in over her head? She'd love to have a little bit of time. She doesn't take it. She's not doing it.
It's funny. I just gave this to our whole church. I stopped the sermon. I said, if I can just pastor you, I want you to write 3 phrases down. Here we go. Number one, I said, divert daily. Second, withdraw weekly. And third, abandon annually.
Yeah.
I said, that is a really good life strategy. I said, here's the deal. My wife and I had 4 kids under 4.
Yeah.
We had 2 boys and then surprise and twins.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so any mom that's been here, I understand, man. We felt like we had multiple bowling lanes installed in our minds for about 5 years. What we did was we looked at each other and said, okay, we're going to divert daily. At some point during the day, Carol, you're going to get a break to divert and just relax. And then I'll get a break to divert and relax. And if we have to hire a babysitter, we'll do that. We have our staff here is really busy. We have 145 people on our staff. We have 6 services. We have a ton of programs, all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling our staff, I want you happy. I want you balanced. I want your marriage is good. So our whole staff, like if you put all of our staff in a room and you said divert, they'd all say daily. If you said withdraw, then I'll say weekly. I say take a day off. And abandon annually, I'm going, we don't roll over vacations here because I want people to take all their vacations.
Yeah, good. That's phenomenal. I remember reading that. I even know the page number. It's on page 122 of your book. And I just went, you know what? This every person in America, every family in America, if they would live by that simple message, and it's a simple message, but it's not easy to do. But if they would just do that, their lives would be better off. Great comment.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Jim? You actually helped me a lot with this a bunch of years ago. You had actually a thing where you called, my wife and I do a marriage quiet time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you've done that recently, but that would be a great whole program. Bring me in, I'll interview you.
You got a deal.
That would be a blast because that was actually one of the best things I've ever heard on we're really busy, we got young kids, life is insane right now. What do we do to make sure our marriage doesn't fall apart during
this? Absolutely. I'm actually speaking in Guatemala this weekend on that subject, and that's an important part of our life. And interesting enough, it still continues. You know, I thought kids would go away and we'd have the empty nest where we've got two of our kids living back in our house, you know, as adults.
We have 3, man. We call them the boomerangs. We keep throwing them out. They keep finding their way back.
Exactly. And what we've had to realize is that if we don't work on our marriage and if we don't, you know, take time in our marriage, whether that be, you know, and spiritual intimacy for a lot of people is the least developed area of intimacy. So if we don't take those times, then, you know, it's going to be tragic. And we know because we have failed through some of those times as well. Now, you've got a seventh and a final principle about raising the hope quotient, and you called it playing great defense. And I loved that. I want you to unpack that as a life strategy.
It was fascinating. When we put these 7 factors together, and it took 7 years of study and testing, I worked with a PhD professor from Regent University, and we wrote a nationwide test. Matter of fact, everybody that gets the book gets a code. They take the test.
Yes.
And they can test whether they're high or low in each one of these 7 areas or their kids are, and they can figure out which things need to be strengthened first and develop a plan to do that. The guy that took the test, a guy named Dr. Brown, called me, and he said, you ready? He said, are you sitting down? I said, yeah. He said, the quickest correlation to any of these 7 and hope is playing great defense. He said the number one hope quotient factor, whether somebody has hope or not, is do they play great defense. And what we did is the more we studied this, and it's why it took 7 years, we went, man, there are some things that the second I let them into my life, it kills hope. I mean, the minute worry enters, hope exits. The minute bitterness and resentment enter, hope exits. I mean, there are just some things that are so toxic. The minute they get into my life, hope goes right out the window.
Yeah. Well, that's a great reminder for all of us. Time's up. We could keep talking. Ray, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you for giving us hope, and thank you for the great book that we'll be talking about here after you go off the air. But appreciate so much all that you do. Really a good conversation today.
And Jim, if I can talk to your listeners for a second, I've known Jim since we were in college. He's the same guy in private that you listen to publicly. Jim, you're the real deal, man. It's a privilege to be with you.
Hey, great to be with you. Okay, God bless.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' 2-part conversation with pastor and author Ray Johnston today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Ray's the author of the new book called The Hope Quotient, and we've got it up at homeward.com if you want to learn more about that. We've been talking about hopeful living in a hopeless world. And Jim, I know that this is a resource that you recommend. I also want to remind our listeners, too, of Confident Parenting, the book that a lot of parents they've lost hope in raising their kids. Confident Parenting will help instill that hope as well. You can order Confident Parenting from homeward.com. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. So you can help us out here at the end of the fiscal year and get a great resource at the same time. Order Confident Parenting from homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program.
Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.